How marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word today, may we know that in our lives, in our hearts, and in this church community. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. A little test, maybe not what we want at this early in the morning, if it's early. But if I was to describe this, what would come to your mind? So it's round in shape. There is a red that goes around the periphery of the circle or the round shape. There's a white background in the middle. And at the very centre of the white background is the number 100. So round in shape, red on the outside, white background, and in the middle, the number 100.
Kilometres an hour.
Kilometres an hour. It's a speed sign. It's a speed sign. Hopefully I described that reasonably well to you. Another one, if you can imagine in your mind's eye, a black dot with curved lines going out from the black dot. A little bit harder, perhaps? Any ideas? Black dot with curved lines going out from the black dot. Sort of to do with sound. I know at least one person will have learnt this symbol this week. So a black dot, well, it could be a blue dot or a red dot. I suppose the colour doesn't matter. But it's a little bit harder, but it is commonplace everywhere today. I guarantee if you have eaten anywhere, if you have been anywhere public, you will have seen this sign. It's the Wi-Fi sign. But if you don't use the internet or if you don't drive, what I've described really would make little or no sense. It's only when you understand the sign or when someone explains what the particular sign is that you understand what is the meaning behind it. I want us to keep that in mind as we come to the fourth in our sermon series from John's Gospel. We're looking at the second half of John chapter 2. And as always, can I encourage you to have the weekly sheet or the Pew Bible open in front of you. Over these last 3 weeks, we've been journeying through John's Gospel. And we've heard John prepare the way for Jesus. And John is very good at using signs or symbols for people to understand who Jesus is. We've heard him describe Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. A very important symbol, as we'll hear in our passage today, for Jewish ears. Last week, we heard about Jesus perform the first miracle at a wedding as he turned water into wine. And that was a great sign or symbol of God's unconditional grace. So as we go through John's Gospel, in many ways, as we hear, it's an earthly story. But as we learn to hear it and ask what is the sign or symbol within it, then we unlock the deeper meaning that John has for us. That's John's purpose in his Gospel. It is to point people not only to the earthly Jesus, but to affirm that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And the challenge at this point for me and for all of us is to be willing to open our hearts and minds, to be willing to open our lives to the deeper truths that John reveals, to be willing to engage with John and what he reveals to us, and also to be willing to apply that into our own faith journey. I love that description as to what faith is. It is a journey. And it is only as we choose to go on that journey, it's only as we engage with our faith in everyday lives, in everyday situations, it's only as we go deeper that we understand who Jesus is and the significance he plays in our lives. For me, that is the key to this week's passage, which is no different, the surface meaning and the deeper challenge that is contained in these words. So let's turn to the second part of John's chapter 2. As we come to the passage, Jesus has now journeyed to Jerusalem. He is a good Jew. He is brought up as a Jew. And he is journeying to the highlight, to the biggest festival of the Jewish religious calendar. It's a very significant festival for the Jewish people because they are remembering symbolically the God who, in a very real way, led them out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Indeed, the Jewish people remember that each week, each year, as they celebrate the Passover. So this is symbol number one for us. What might that symbol, the Passover, or the Passover lamb, be telling us about Jesus and our context today? The second symbol comes in verses 14 to 17. And in those verses, did you notice that we meet a very different Jesus? Very often we think of Jesus as being gentle Jesus, meek and mild. That's like a childlike prayer, isn't it, that we teach our children. But this passage is shocking in a way, because it shows us a different side to Jesus. It shows us a Jesus who is capable of anger and rage. And as we read through these three verses, Jesus literally goes nuts. We might say today that he loses the plot. He loses it altogether. And he, with great anger, clears the temple in Jerusalem. He gets rid of all the traders who are there. He gets rid of all the money changers, and he literally runs them. Again, what might this be telling us on a deeper level? Why might Jesus have done that? That's the second symbol. The third and key symbol for me, which helps us understand the other two as well, comes in verse 19. After Jesus has cleared the temple, he is confronted by some angry Jews. Now, whether they are some of the religious leaders or whether they are completely put out because he has lost the plot, in other words, they have lost the opportunity to make money, but they ask Jesus, do you notice, to show them a sign, to show them a symbol of whose authority he is acting on. And verse 19 to 21, there is this nice interplay, this nice misunderstanding. Jesus answers them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Symbolic. But they reply, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it or build it again in 3 days. And for me, this exchange is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. They are engaging with Jesus in earthly terms, as many people today only engage with Jesus on earthly terms, while Jesus, in this highly symbolic answer to them, is revealing something massively deep and significant. Again, I ask us, what might that be? What might this symbolic interaction be pointing us towards? So as we seek to interpret the passage, each symbol and sign that Jesus uses for me reveals actually the same thing. The Passover as a symbol, the angry Jesus as a symbol, and the destroyed temple as a sign and symbol. And for me, the answer comes via two verses. Verse 16, Jesus says, stop turning my Father's house into a market. There's a real clue in that, isn't there? And verse 21, John puts it much more clearly, but the temple he had spoken about was his body. J- John's purpose, as I've said, in writing his gospel, is to reveal again and again who Jesus truly is. So if we take this and apply it to what we have read in these two verses, this is what I believe John is telling us symbolically that this is all about. The temple. The temple is a very important place to the Jewish people. In our context, our churches are very important places. They are gathering places. They are meeting places. They are places, or should be, places that bring people nearer to God. Give people an opportunity to focus on God, to worship God. So why is Jesus angry? Well, the temple has become more about ritual. The temple has become more about tradition and self-preservation than about God. The temple, as far as Jesus sees, is not doing its job properly. The temple is about sustaining itself. Stop turning my Father's house into a market. So Jesus is cross because the temple has lost its focus. We'll apply that in a moment. Secondly, the people have long awaited the Messiah who stands before them. They would have known the scriptures. They would have known what has been prophesied and the promises that had been made. And yet they are more concerned about what they have lost in a temporal sense in life. They are more concerned with the building than they are with the person who is at the very heart of their faith. They miss entirely who Jesus is. They miss entirely what they will gain by recognizing who Jesus is. That Jesus is the true Passover lamb. That Jesus is the one who will die as the Passover lamb sacrificed for them. That Jesus will rise again victorious on the third day. The hint is there, isn't it? That Jesus, as the scripture promises time and time again, that they would have heard time and time again, that Jesus will be the one who takes away the sins of the world. The sign is there. But they either ignore it, haven't read it, or don't understand it. So as we apply this symbolic passage, the question that's been going round in my mind all week, and it's one of those passages that I've really wrestled with over the last 7 or so days, is these. As we seek to apply it, as I seek to be the leader of this community in this time and this place. So here are the questions that I've been asking myself, and by extension, all of us here today. Is Jesus at the very center of our church life? Is Jesus at the very center of our church life? Do our buildings provide a place where we, where all can come and see Jesus at the very heart of all that we are about? Is Jesus in some way or another at the very heart of each organization that meets in our buildings each week? Is Jesus at the very heart of all that we are about? If not, why not? If not, why not? And symbolically and in reality, this passage reminds me and us that that question starts with us. Therefore, am I? Therefore, are we all as individuals and as a community that aims to be Jesus-centered? Is Jesus at the center of my life? Is Jesus at the center of all our lives? And that begins with a very honest question, and it's this. If we don't recognize who Jesus is beyond the earthly nice story of a good man, if we don't recognize who Jesus is, then how can we expect Jesus to be at the very heart of the church life, to be at the very heart of all that we are about. So for me, the real challenge in my own life and in all our lives is to respond to who Jesus is, to make him the heart of our own lives, to be the signs and symbols of Jesus in this church and in our communities and in all that we are about. So that as people see us, as people see all that we do, they will see something of God's beauty and God's grace and God's love for all. God's redeeming love and God's invitation to intercede and to have a personal relationship with him. So each of these passages go hand in hand, and all the signs and symbols or meanings are there for us to see. Did you notice what we sang in the opening hymn? Here are symbols to remind us of our lifelong need of grace. Here our table, font and pulpit. Here the cross has central place. Here in honesty of preaching. Here in silence as in speech. Here in newness and in renewal, God the Spirit comes to each. The signs and symbols are there, but unless the true meaning of the sign is embraced, we will miss the importance of what it tells us in our own lives and in the life of this church and beyond. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know about Jesus. I'm confident of that. And yet I wonder, in my own life, in the busyness, in the challenges, in the joys, in the frustrations, is Jesus at the heart of my life? Is Jesus at the heart of all our lives? Do we just see Jesus as some quaint and nice historical figure that we hear about on a Sunday morning? Or is Jesus someone who truly for us is who he claims to be, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, the one who has redeemed us, who invites us into a personal relationship with him, who enlivens our churches and allows us in this place, in this community, to represent, to be a sign and symbol of all that Jesus is. So help us to begin with that question of who Jesus is for us today and always. Amen.